This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting today from the studios of WOSU in Columbus, Ohio. Opinion polls raise Kane, Perry mulls sending the Marines into Mexico's drug war, and Chris Christie, not born to run. It's Wednesday, and time for a...
Not my time.
...edition of the Political Junkie.
There you go again.
When I hear your new ideas, I'm reminded of that ad. Where's the beef?
Extremism in the defense of liberty is no vice.
Senator, you're no Jack Kennedy.
You don't have Nixon to kick around anymore.
Lipstick.
But I'm the decider.
It's Wednesday, and political junkie Ken Rudin has followed us all the way to the Buckeye State. Perry's stock plummets as Kane jumps up and Mitt holds on. New Jersey's governor will stay home in Trenton. West Virginia's governor wins a term of his own. And the president and the majority leader exchange volleys on the jobs bill. A little bit later, we'll set up the new primary calendar as South Carolina moves up. And politics here in Ohio, SB5 Kucinich redistricted, and the upcoming Senate race. Later in the program, a new book of lost stories by Dr. Seuss. But first, political junkie Ken Rudin joins us here in the studios of WOSU in Columbus. And as usual, we'll begin with a trivia question. Hey, Ken.
Hi, Neil. Hello, Columbus.
Hello, Columbus.
Okay, well, we know we have a new member station that's just picked up Talk of the Nation and, of course, the political junkie segment on Wednesdays, which is probably the reason they picked
of
up the show.
Of course, it had to be.
And that's KLCC 89.7 in Eugene, Oregon. So here's an Oregon-related trivia question. Oregon has not elected a Republican governor since 1982. As you well remember, it was Victor Atiyah, right?
Okay. Atiyah, yes.
That's right. Only one state has gone longer without electing a Republican to the governorship. Which state is it?
If you think you know the answer to this today's trivia question, the state that has gone the longest in not electing a Republican to the State House, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Of course, the winner gets a fabulous political junkie no prize T-shirt. And, Ken, I understand we're obligated for an extra no prize T-shirt from last week.
Well, yes, because of the trivia question last week was what future presidential candidate was defeated in 2004, but a future presidential candidate, and my answer was Herman Cain, who ran for the Senate in Georgia, but Doug Posner of El Cerrito, California, said also Alan Keyes ran for the Senate in Illinois that year against some guy named Barack Obama, and he later ran for president. So Doug Posner gets a T-shirt as well.
Well, we apologize for the error, and we'll send you out a Political Junkie No Prize T-shirt. In any case,
I'll have to give him mine.
right off your back. In any case, when we can, we like to begin with actual votes.
And there were actual votes yesterday in West Virginia. The acting governor, Earl Ray Tomlin, he became governor last year when Joe Manchin left the governorship after he was elected to the Senate seat long held by Robert Byrd. Earl Ray Tomlin in West Virginia defeated yesterday Bill Maloney by about a 50 to 47% margin. The Republicans desperately tried to tie Tomlin in with President Obama, who remains very unpopular in West Virginia, as he was in 2008 when he was winning most of the rest of the country. Now, the Democrats are saying this is a great victory for them because they withstood the Republican barrage. But again, this is a state where the Democrats outnumber Republicans 2-1, and it was a 50 to 47% margin. Tomlin, who now is the governor, will have to run again next year. This was just to fill the Manchin term.
Right.
So they have to run again next year. But both sides. So
does he live in the Manchin?
He lives in the Manchin. And his wife, Gracie, says hello to you, by the way. And
she's from New York.
She is. And so, the thing is, even though Obama is very unpopular here, Tomlin, like Joe Manchin, endorsed by the NRA, the back of the Chamber of Commerce. So the Democrats in West Virginia, not like the national Democrats.
And the big news yesterday from the Garden State of New Jersey, where Chris Christie says he's going to be happy to stay.
Well, he said it all along, as he said last year, last November, that, what short of suicide can I convince you that I'm not running? So he said over and over.
Oh, but he's openly been flirting with it for the last couple of months.
Well, but he does say the last couple of weeks. And, of course, last Tuesday, a week ago Tuesday, he gave that very memorable speech at the Reagan Library, sitting next to Nancy Reagan, who apparently urged him to run as well. And he really criticized President Obama. And a lot of people said, well, maybe this guy should really be pursued. So yesterday, Christie had his press conference, and you know, he took a lot of jokes about, you know, his weight, of course. Mm-hmm. And I understand he will be on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which is, you know, stupid joke. But he says that, no, I'm going to stay in as governor of New Jersey and not run. He stayed true to what he's been saying all along.
In the meantime, new polls out today in the last couple of days show a complete reshuffle in the Republican field. A Republican field that now looks pretty set unless Sarah Palin decides to jump in.
Well, yes. I mean, it's settled in the sense that the former front runner seems to be the current front runner once again, and that's Mitt Romney. Although the numbers are not impressive, there's a Quinnipiac poll that's out today that has him leading the pack with 22%. There's a CBS poll that has Romney leading the pack with 17%. But the big news, I guess, in the poll is that Herman Cain has jumped up. Remember, Herman Cain not only won the Florida straw poll, he's done very well in the debates, at least gotten a lot of applause lines. And the collapse of Rick Perry, or at least up to now, the collapse of Rick Perry has given Herman Cain this opportunity to move up. I still think that it's a momentary thing, just like we like Michelle Bachmann for 15 minutes until we got tired of her. We like Herman Cain until we get tired of her. I don't know if it's Republican voters.
Right, exactly.
But I don't know if it's Republican fickle voters or it's a media who just has a short attention span theater. But for now, it seems to be Herman Cain.
And Perry collapsed, but collapsed into second or third, depending on which poll you look at. And he's had trouble on racial issues. The place that he and his father used to go hunting in Texas, and also some Confederate license plates that may be authorized there. He made a comment about, if he was president, maybe he'd send U.S. troops to settle the drug war in Mexico. That did not go over well in Mexico City.
But yes, exactly. But I'm not sure that hurts him with the Republican electorate. And the fact that he announced yesterday that he raised, in the 7 weeks he's been a candidate, he raised $17 million. I still think we have a debate coming up next Tuesday, October 11th. It's in Dartmouth College in New Hampshire. Don't count out Rick Perry just yet.
Let's get some listeners on the line who think they know the answer to this week's trivia question. The state that has gone the longest without electing a Republican to the state house to be governor of that state, 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And let's begin with Brad. And Brad's on the line with us from Hamilton, Indiana.
West Virginia.
The state that just elected a Democrat to the governorship.
Well, they've only elected two – West Virginia's only elected two Republicans since 1956, but one of them was as recent as 1996, Cecil Underwood, who was not only the youngest governor when he was elected in 56, but the oldest and was elected in 1996.
Brad, thanks very much for the call. Let's see if we can go next to – this is Matthew. Matthew with us from Battle Creek in Michigan.
I would guess that the answer is Hawaii.
No, well, that's a good guess because it's a very solidly Democratic state. But Linda Lingle was elected two terms governor of Hawaii as recently as 2006.
Thanks very much for the call, Matthew. Oh, I'm sorry. I hung up on him. I apologize for that. Let's go next to Samir. Samir with us from Dublin right here in Ohio.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. Vermont.
Vermont actually, until last year, had a Republican governor, Jim Douglas. He just left office this year.
Oh, nice try, though. Again, usually a blue state. And we'll try Laura. Laura with us from Rhododendron in Oregon.
Oh, I love that.
Hi. Washington.
Washington State is the correct answer.
Ding, ding, ding.
1982 was the last time for Oregon. 1980 was the last time for Washington State. John Spellman, the cardinal from New York, long time. John Spellman was elected in 1980, the last Republican.
Congratulations, Laura. Stay on the line. We'll collect your particulars. And in exchange for your promise of a digital picture of yourself, we will send you a Political Junkie No Prize T-shirt, and we'll post your digital picture on the wall of shame.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, and go Buckeyes.
Go. Okay. Well, she's calling from Oregon, but she knows her Ohio. In the meantime, we were talking a lot about the shuffle of the presidential candidates. A lot of people think that the Republicans are not happy with the presidential field. That's why they keep looking for a Rick Perry to enter the race or a Chris Christie to enter the race or waiting for a Sarah Palin to enter the race. Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour spoke yesterday in Washington and touched on the Republican economic agenda and predicted 2012 will be close, contentious, and negative. And after all is said and done, he says nothing will unite Republicans like wanting to get rid of President Obama.
Republicans are so single-minded. I think when we go to the convention in Tampa, it's going to be like conjugal visitation day at the state penitentiary. Everybody's going to have one thing on their mind, and that's getting rid of Obama.
And that's why he's such a great guest. He reminds us that by the time it's going to be contentious, it's going to be a long primary fight. There will be a candidate, and it's everybody. Of the top Republican candidates polls pretty well against President Obama.
Well, one of the reasons it's going to be a longer fight than usual is that in the past, Republican delegates were chosen on a winner-take-all basis. Whoever won the state by one vote or a million votes gets all the delegates. Now it's done by proportional value. So Romney, Perry, Ron Paul, Huntsman, all the Newt Gingrich, all the candidates will basically have an opportunity to get some delegates, which will move it up. And he does make a good point, Haley Barbour, that the Republicans desperately want to beat Barack Obama. And some Republicans are saying, look, Mitt Romney is doing the best in the polls, and therefore we should side with him. There was a big money guy for Chris Christie who went over to Romney just yesterday. But there are others that say, look, ideology is more important, and we're not going to compromise with a Romney candidate.
In the meantime, more than a year out from the election, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, said yesterday that President Obama is in full campaign mode. I think he's speaking about the jobs bill that the president has been campaigning for. He was down in a Dallas suburb earlier this week, and the president called out not Boehner, but House Majority Leader Eric Cantor, who said that this jobs bill the president's been pushing is not even going to get debated in the House of Representatives.
I mean, what's the problem? Do they not have the time? They just had a week off. Is it inconvenient?
And of course, Eric Cantor then replied by saying, time is not the issue here.
And the problem is the policies being promoted by this administration that are sending the signal that we're not open for business in America. That's not what we need right now. We need to all pull together and to ensure that we can produce a better environment for growth and job creation.
And of course, the president, it's a fair criticism. Of course, he's in campaign mode.
Yes, he is. I hear music in the background.
And that tells us we have to be quiet. We'll have more with the political junkie Ken Rudin when we come back from a short break. Stay with us. We'll be talking about politics in Ohio. What's changed here since the last election? Ohio callers, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And take over this beautiful land. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan, broadcasting today from the studios of WOSU in Columbus, Ohio. Political junkie Ken Rudin made the trip with us, but not before he finished his latest column and devised another one of those devious scuttle button puzzles. You can find all that at npr.org/junkie. In a few minutes, Mike Thompson, the news director here at WOSU, will join us. Ohioans, how have politics changed here since the last election? A big Republican sweep last time around. Give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Ken mentioned the scuttle button. Is there a winner from last week?
There was. The answer was Dallas Cowboys, my least favorite football team. But Leah Rubin of Wildwood, Missouri, was the winner. She says, I won the Irma Bombeck writing competition in 2008, but they didn't send me a T-shirt. So that's pretty impressive.
She'll be getting a T-shirt. That's and, right. Of course, if you win the scuttle button puzzle, you will get a political junkie T-shirt. In the meantime, last week it was Florida moving up its primary date. This week it is South Carolina saying, no, we are going to be first in the South.
Well, that's according to the both parties agree that in order it's Iowa, New Hampshire, Nevada, and South Carolina. When Florida moved up to January 31st, South Carolina said, we're doing January 21st. And of course, Iowa, which was scheduled for February 6th, it looks like now Iowa could very well be February 2nd, as early as February 2nd. Last time it was February 3rd. January 2nd. And New Hampshire maybe 8 days later, January 10th. So one of the reasons Chris Christie was not going to run is because he only had 3 months to assemble this whole staff and raise all this money.
One of the reasons he had to make a decision. So right. Christmas in Des Moines again.
Exactly.
In the meantime, that puts a lot of pressure on these. And there's no Super Tuesday this year. There's no date in the middle of the primary campaign where everything is up for grabs.
That's true. But one of the, among the Super Tuesday states is Texas. And so for those people who say are counting out Rick Perry, you still have South Carolina. You still have Florida at the end of January. You still have Texas and other smaller Super Tuesday states, which could give him, you know, a boost. He's the only true Southerner. Newt Gingrich, nominally a Southerner, but Rick Perry, the only Southerner in the contest.
And as we look ahead to this...
Oh, I'm sorry, Herman Cain is
And Herman Cain from Georgia as well, yes. The Godfather's Pizza, of course, the famous Godfathers of Georgia. As we look ahead to this, a lot of people are saying this could stretch out for a long time before they get to the convention.
Well, it could, again, ostensibly because it's proportional, so everybody has a reason to stay in the race. But, of course, if it's Romney and Perry who are the only ones who are raising all this money, and they're raising a ton of money, other candidates are left behind. Michelle Bachmann's staff seem to be falling apart at the end, and we don't know what the other campaign numbers are. It could last a long time, or it could be a one-on-one contest.
And as we remember from other years, long races tend to make better candidates.
Well, you could make that case, and it certainly was the case with Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton in 2008. The more Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama campaigned, the better candidates both became, and obviously it helped Obama win in November. But there's sometimes the anger, the divisiveness between the two candidates, like Ted Kennedy and Jimmy Carter in 1980. The longer that went on, the more the party was split, and that certainly hurt the Democrats that year in November.
All right. Now we want to switch and focus on Ohio politics as we're here in the capital of Columbus. Mike Thompson is with us here in the studio at WOSU. He's the news director here. And we want to hear from those of you in the Buckeye State what has changed here since the last election. 800-989-8255. Email is talk@npr.org. And just going around and looking at everybody's popularity ratings, LeBron James is looking pretty good.
Yes. He might give John Kasich a run for his money at this point. John Kasich, the good news is his approval ratings are up. They're up to 40% from 35 this summer. So he has ticked up a bit, but pretty much across the board, President Obama, John Kasich, Rob Portman, all at about...
He's the freshman Republican senator.
Senator from Ohio, all about 40%. Sherrod Brown, the senator who faces re-election next year, is the only one above 50%. He's at 52%, which is kind of surprising given the mood of the voter right now.
Well, the mood of the voter a couple of years ago was throw the bums out. We're going to elect a bunch of Republicans.
And they did. And the state politics and the state policy makers have definitely turned the state sharply to the right. Because the unemployment rate is still above 9%, they're still mad. They're just mad at different people now.
Because they're mad at whoever's in office.
Exactly.
Ken, that's not unusual.
No, it isn't. But it's especially unusual for Ohio because in 2006, after decades of Republican rule, voters here threw out except for Betty Montgomery, I guess, but almost every Republican statewide office, the governorship, lieutenant governorship, a Senate seat, House seats, and they clearly was dissatisfied with Republicans. And 4 years later, in 2010, their ire was directed at Democrats. So it's a very topsy-turvy state.
The difference in 2006 was it was fueled largely by scandal. There was improper investments involving rare coins and there was allegations and some evidence of pay to play with the Republicans that were in office. Former Governor Bob Taft was actually pled no contest to a misdemeanor. Bob Ney, the former congressman from eastern central Ohio, spent some time in prison. He was voted out or left at that time.
Part of the Jack Abramoff scandal.
Yes. So there was a lot of anger, but it was scandal-based. Now it's economic-based, which is a longer-lasting and a deeper resentment, I believe, than just a scandal.
And there is also I think there's some energy to try to get rid of SB 5. That's the public employees bill, similar to the legislation that passed in Wisconsin that drew so much ire from public employees there.
Yes, that is the big issue this fall. Usually off-year election, there's not much to talk about, but that's on the ballot. It's issue number 2 on the Ohio ballot, and the unions have come out in full force to try to repeal Senate Bill 5. Folks on the other side, mainly Republicans, are trying to uphold it. The polls show that race tightening a bit. It's still in double digits. The repeal folks have a 13-point lead, according to the last Quinnipiac poll last week.
Well, let's see if we get some callers in on the conversation. What has changed here in politics in Ohio? And we'll start with Marlene with us from Cincinnati, where we're going to be tomorrow.
Yes. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm very thrilled to hear that Sherrod Brown is above the 50% mark. I can't say enough good things about him. But I would like to share and agree with some of the things that the last caller said, and do say that a lot of what has changed is the economy, the reality, the lack of jobs, and both the state and the governor's mansion have veered strongly to the right. And if we are going to talk about SB 5, which is important to me now, excuse me, issue 2 on the ballot, it is values. The values have changed, and I believe that the Republican Party in the state of Ohio, as well as in many factions of Congress, has now Tea Party and extremists who are controlling the agenda and moving the party, and it's all about tax cutting and cutting out services and attacking, and you have members of the GOP who want Obama to be a one-term president, which I have a huge problem with.
Well, that was John Boehner, the majority, the Speaker of the House, and that's I understand that too. But Marlene,
yes.
John Kasich and the Republicans, this was not a secret campaign. Everybody knew this was coming.
It's one thing when people want to, quote, throw the bums out, and like the previous caller said, in 2006, we did have scandals. We knew that the 2010 elections, for those of us that are blue thinkers and lean toward the Democratic Party, we had no idea it was going to be a GOP tsunami in any shape or form. And I was concerned about what Governor Kasich was going to do before I saw him in office. And the first thing he said at a press conference in Cincinnati Technical State within a week of being elected was, I'm the new governor around here, and either you join us and you come on the bus or we will run you over, which I didn't think was very genteel of a new public servant occupying the highest state office in our state. So,
Marlene,
there's,
all right, we're going to give somebody else a chance. Thanks very much for the call, Marlene. And Mike Thompson, well, a blue thinker, as she said. But again, what Kasich promised is what Kasich delivered.
Absolutely. He said, this is what I'm going to do. He said it during the campaign, and that he's done exactly what he said he was going to do. He was going to cut the state budget. He was not going to raise taxes. He was going to try to make the state government of Ohio run more like a business. And that's what he's doing. He's pushing privatization. He's pushing charter schools and vouchers and all these things, but he is living up to his promises. Whether you like him or not, that's for the voters to decide in a couple of years, but he's fulfilling his promises.
And hoping things get turned around. And
yes.
If they do, he will get part of the credit. Of course, if they do turn around, so will President Obama. So it's a curious relationship. Let's see if we go next to Mike. And Mike, another caller from Cincinnati.
Oh, hi, Neil. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. Hey, down here in Cincinnati, things have changed for the obvious reason. The economy is a little bit worse, but really, honestly, overall, it hasn't been that terrible here. I mean, the company I'm with is doing real well. I've got all my friends are well employed. So maybe you'll find out when you get down here it's not as bad as it might be in the northeast part of the state. But anyway, I'm going to vote Republican. I don't like any of the Republican potential candidates out there right now, quite honestly, but I don't like the batch that's, and I think you'll find this is a pretty dominant thought down here. I don't like all the academics and guys running the show in Washington. We need some business people in there. And my guess is if the election was tomorrow, Romney would get the nod. But I don't know. We're just nobody's real happy here, but we're hanging on. The economy's not terrible. We're waiting for the other shoe to fall, but it hasn't quite fallen yet. So,
and you're going to vote?
Anyway, not that.
Are you going to turn out on the SB5 issue come November?
Oh, sure, absolutely.
All right. Thanks very much for the call, Mike, and maybe we'll see you down there in Cincinnati.
Great. Thank you.
A caller suggesting that in Ohio, as we've learned many times, location, location, location. It's six different economies in this state.
Yes. I mean, we were Ted Strickland often touted during the campaign, the former governor, that we had several months. I think by the time the election last year rolled around, it was like 13 or 14 straight months of declining unemployment. And that's ticked up a bit in the past few months. We're now growing again. The unemployment rate is creeping up. A lot of the job losses are in government because of government cuts that the Kasich administration has done, and also lower tax revenues. So there are pockets of the state. Manufacturing is a mixed bag. The auto industry seems to be recovering in some sections of the state. Manufacturing is boosting there. Other places, it's not. Government workers being trimmed there. So it depends on where you are. Healthcare is doing well. Some professional services not doing so well. Depends on where you are.
We're talking with Mike Thompson, of course, is the news director here at WOSU. Political junkie Ken Rudin is with us here in Ohio. He joins us on the program every Wednesday. You're listening to Talk of the Nation, which is coming to you from NPR News. Ken?
Mike, if some things are going well in Ohio, some things are not, do you give the credit or blame? Do you give it to John Kasich? Do you give it to Barack Obama? You say both politicians' numbers are not doing so well. Kasich may not win a reelection if the election were held today. Would Barack Obama carry Ohio again?
Barack Obama's approval rating is around 40%, I guess 41-42%. And head-to-head against Rick Perry or Mitt Romney, he barely wins. It's within the margin of error. So it's basically a dead heat between the two frontrunners on the GOP side.
Ohio a toss-up. Go figure.
I know. Imagine that. the Democrats will point to the auto company's bailout that President Obama pushed, that Ted Strickland, the former governor, supported. That has helped manufacturing in some parts of Ohio. So you'll see that during the campaign going forward, that those policies are helping Ohio recover. Now, John Kasich's been in office 9 months. It's hard to say what kind of impact he has had on the state's economy. Business leaders say that they like what's going on here. National business leaders say they like the direction that Ohio is going. Kasich has claimed some successes. He's saved Bob Evans, the restaurant chain, from moving out of state, other companies as well. So for John Kasich, it's a little early. Barack Obama, obviously, the clock is ticking, and you know, at a 9% unemployment rate, he's got his work cut out for him.
Email question from Angel in Columbus. Ken, why do you think Democrats have such a hard time turning lower middle class and rural Republicans in Ohio? It seems some Democratic economic initiatives would appeal to those voters. Of course, they don't exactly control the state legislature or the governor's mansion.
But that question has been asked a lot, and it's an interesting question. Some of the people who have been suffering the most economically and their futures and their businesses, and yet they seem to be still continue to be angry at the Democrats, angry at President Obama, and more supportive of Republican causes. And I don't have an answer to that. I think it's just dissatisfaction with, if you're going to blame somebody, you blame the party in power, and that seems to be the Democrats.
There are also folks who tend to want less government, the more skeptical of government. And with the expansion of the health care thing and the stimulus spending, I think that turns a lot of folks who want less government, folks in rural areas, turns them off.
Let's go next to Don. Don with us from Piqua, Ohio.
Hi, thanks. Listen, all I wanted to say quickly was what's different these days is what I consider to be increased hypocrisy. I don't know if you folks have seen the governor's latest ad on TV in support of the Issue 2 ballot, but it's interesting to me that he is making the appeal that people ought to vote for it so that regular folks, I guess the police and the teachers and everybody else, ought to just be paying their fair share. Well, it seems to me that when President Obama made that appeal, people called it class warfare.
SB5, again, is the issue two on the ballot. That's public employee bargaining rights. Mike Thompson.
Yeah, that's the strategy that the supporters of the limits on the collective bargaining rights are using. They're basically making this a campaign of fairness. They say you're paying, 20%, 30% of your paycheck for your health insurance costs. Shouldn't a public employee, taxpayer-funded public employee, shouldn't they be paying at least 15% of their health insurance costs? Of course, it's the other side, the folks trying to repeal the Senate Bill 5, the limits on collective bargaining, are saying they're just attacking the middle class, the firefighters, the police officers, the teachers who are just trying to make a living and serving their communities.
But as the caller says, when you talk about paying a fair share, he makes a very good point. Yeah. When Barack Obama says it, everybody's saying it's class warfare, that if the rich pay their fair amount in taxes, that becomes a class versus class struggle.
Another issue before we leave Ohio. Well, we're going to Cincinnati tomorrow. But anyway, before we leave Ohio politics, and that is redistricting. Every 10 years, of course, the legislature gets to redraw congressional lines. Mm-hmm. Republicans control the process here in Ohio this time around.
And it's a very Republican-looking congressional map. I think there's only one, maybe two districts that are deemed competitive in the whole state of Ohio. The rest are – most of them are favor the Republican candidates. A few favor the Democratic candidates. But there's been a lot of criticism of this map, that there's been an extreme amount of gerrymandering of the map. That Here in central Ohio, Steve Stier is the congressman. He used to represent much of the city of Columbus. That's not the case anymore. The city of Columbus, largely Democratic, has been broken off to its own district. And I call Steve Stier's district the Jerry Curl because it curls all the way around Columbus, all the Republican and rural areas around the city.
Ken?
And so what the Republicans did, they created a new district in Columbus that maybe Mary Jo Kilroy will run for again.
She's already said she wants it.
But at the same time, they protected all those vulnerable Republicans around Columbus, yeah. like Stier's, like Tyberry and others.
Yeah.
And they also put Marcy Kaptur in the same district as Dennis Kucinich.
The thin snake along Lake Erie in the northern part of Ohio.
Mike, thanks very much for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mike Thompson, the news director here at WOSU. Ken Rudin, thanks for joining us here in the Buckeye State.
Goodbye, Columbus.
Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us on the program every Wednesday. And again, you can go to npr.org/junkie to take a look at his column and try to solve that scuttle button puzzle. Up next, fans of The Cat in the Hat and Oh, the Places You'll Go, listen up. There's a new Dr. Seuss book. We'll talk about the Bipolo Seed and other lost stories when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.